This is the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray, episode 98.
Welcome to the Soulful PR Podcast. Tune in every week for practical tips, strategies, and case studies that will help you get media coverage for your business. And now, here's your host, Janet Murray.
Hello, and welcome to the show. In this episode, I'm going to be talking about what to do if you're being ignored by journalists. But before I get to the main part of the show, I just wanted to mention an event that I've got coming up in London on November the 24th. That's 2016 if you're listening in the future. The event's called Soulful Writing, and it's a one-day masterclass in writing for the media. So by that, I mean writing things like opinion articles, writing practical how-to articles for the likes of the Huffington Post, Entrepreneur, Business Insider, that kind of thing. And also how to write really cracking first-person articles. We sometimes call them confessionals in the trade, but first-person personal stories. So the inspiration behind this event just comes from having so many conversations with business owners, and particularly my coaching clients, where they get a yes from an editor to write something, and then they just get absolutely paralyzed with fear and saying, I can't write this, I don't know where to start, I'm stuck, I'm procrastinating. So I thought, why not use the experience that I've got? I've spent the last 15 years working as a journalist and editor for national titles. Why not use this experience to teach people how to do this kind of writing and also to do it quickly and efficiently? So that's what's happening on November the 24th. I'm going to be announcing in the next few weeks a couple of co-trainers. So I'm bringing a couple of other journalists on board to help me so that I can really give as much feedback as possible. So the idea is to keep it really practical. You're going to be doing lots of practical hands-on exercises, and we'll be there to give you feedback throughout the day. So if that sounds of interest, you can still grab the early bird rate as I'm recording now. That's £180. And you can get that from my website. I'll put a link in the show notes, and I would really love to see you there. And as ever, I love hearing from you, so do drop me a line on janet@janetmurray.co.uk, or you can tweet me @jan_murray, or find me over on Instagram @janmurrayuk. So now, on with the main part of the show. So you've written a press release or a pitch. You've got a story idea that you're really excited about, so you send it off to a journalist, and then you wait, and then you wait, and then you wait. If that scenario sounds familiar, then please don't worry, you're not alone. Most journalists get hundreds of pitches and press releases every single day. So if you're being ignored by a journalist, then you're in good company. Hundreds or even thousands of others are going through exactly the same experience. But that doesn't help you in terms of getting your idea accepted. So in this episode, I'm going to talk about what to do if your idea is getting ignored. And I'm also going to take you through the most common reasons that journalists aren't replying to your emails, in the hope that you can take some tips from that to ensure that your next pitch does get accepted. So first off, what should you do if you've sent out a pitch? Some of you listening now may well have a pitch that's out there that you haven't heard anything back from. So what should you do? Well, first off, it really does kind of depend. I mean, one of the questions that people ask me a lot is, how soon should I chase up after sending out a pitch? And it really does depend on the story. So let's say that you've pitched an opinion article idea to an editor on a daily newspaper, and it's hooked onto something that's happened today. So I don't know, let's say Brad and Angelina have split up, and you've got some kind of insight on that, and you've pitched an opinion article around that. And obviously, if you're listening in the future, at this stage, they did split up recently, which is why that came to mind, that particular example. But so you've sent off an opinion article idea, and it's very, very timely. Everybody's talking about Brad and Angelina. So that's the kind of thing I wouldn't leave for days and days. I might follow up in half an hour or an hour or something like that. And do be aware that when you pitch an idea to a journalist, they often have to pitch it on to their editor or their colleague. So on a daily newspaper, they generally have a morning conference, which is like 9 or 10 in the morning, something like that. Everyone will get together, and all the reporters and editors will have to pitch their ideas to their editors, and some will make it and some won't. So do bear in mind there might be a little bit of a time lag there. On weekly and monthly publications, I think you can, and programs as well, you can probably give journalists a little bit more time. And I think you should give them some more time to think it over, because likewise, they will probably have to go into planning meetings where they'll be pitching ideas to their team and their editor. And it will take a little bit of time sometimes for that to be decided. So I generally say if it's really timely, then you just need to chase it up. If you think the story is going to be gone the next day, or people aren't going to be talking about it, or they're going to have moved on to a different sort of part of the narrative the next day, then I would really act quickly on that. Otherwise, I would maybe give it a day or two and then just send a very gentle nudge on email that says, I would forward your original email and then say something like, just wondered if you'd have a chance to have a look at this. And I think it's fair to say, if you do that two or three times and you hear nothing, then they're probably not interested in your idea and you need to move on. But I could reel off countless examples of clients I've worked with who've sent that little nudge and the editors come back and said, oh, yes, I am interested in this. Sorry, I was just a little bit busy. And so it is always worth making that little nudge. People sometimes ask me whether you should phone. I think if your story is particularly timely, then yeah, pick up the phone and call. It can't do any harm. What's the worst that can happen? But do bear in mind that you do just need to give journalists a little bit of time. I think one of the most annoying things people do is they send a pitch or press release and then they phone up straight away and say, did you get my press release? I'm saying, yeah, I got it like 5 seconds ago and I'm doing something else. And, you know, I'd really would like some time to consider it. So there's a little bit of it depends in there. But as with all of this stuff, it's just about using your common sense. So thinking, well, if it's a really hot news story, if it really needs to happen today, if it's going to happen, then I think it's fine to chase up quite quickly. But with other stuff, use your common sense and give journalists a little bit of breathing space and a little bit of time to consider. So a big mistake I see people making is they get a no from a publication and they just go right and they move on to the next thing. But actually getting a no or being ignored, as we're talking about in this case, is a really, really good opportunity to learn. So if you're being ignored, and particularly if you're being consistently ignored by journalists, then I think it's really worth taking a step back and just looking at what you're doing or what you're not doing, really analysing it to see what you need to improve. Because why keep doing the same thing? If you're consistently being ignored, there's obviously something that's not working, or there's a combination of things which are not working for you. And instead of keep just doing the same thing, I think it's worth taking a step back and analysing what's going on to see where the problem might be. So I'm going to run through the most common reasons that you might be getting ignored by journalists and offer some solutions. So first off, the most common reason I think that you might be getting ignored is because your idea wasn't suitable for that publication or program. And that usually comes down to not having done your research. So for example, when I'm editing on Education Guardian, I get pitched lots of ideas which are basically parenting articles. So they might be things like 10 ideas to help your child revise for their exams. And if you've ever looked at that section for more than a few minutes, you would quickly probably pick up that they don't do parenting pieces. So in most cases, it's that the idea is off piece. The person hasn't done the research. So they're pitching something that you would never do in a million years. So I would go back to the drawing board, look at the publication again, look at what kind of content they run, what sort of thing they don't run, and see if you can work out where you might be wide of the mark. There's an example that I share in my book of when I went for a meeting with the editor of Healthy Magazine, which is the Holland and Barrett health store magazine. And she was an old friend of mine. So I went for lunch with the editor of Healthy Magazine, armed with a list of ideas. And I was sat there reading them off to her. And she was just not looking very impressed at all. And when I got home and did that analysis, I looked back over the magazine, I immediately spotted my problem and I could kill myself, you know, like I was so annoyed with myself. I could kick myself, I should say, rather than kill myself. I was so annoyed with myself because all the ideas I was suggesting to her were parenting type articles, but and they had a health slant on them. But when I looked at the magazine again, there were quite a few articles about the menopause. There were quite a few articles which seemed to be aimed at women who didn't have children or certainly weren't interested in reading about children. And I realised my gaffe quite quickly and then regrouped and went back with some new ideas. But sometimes I think we can just pick up a health magazine and make assumptions about it, or we can pick up the money section of a paper and make assumptions about it without actually reading the content. So education is a really great example. People assume that we do education articles aimed to parents. And of course, although parents read the articles, they're not specifically aimed at parents. So secondly, I would say the second most common reason that editors are ignoring you is because your subject line isn't compelling enough. So most journalists get hundreds of pitches and press releases, and the word press release or the phrase press release comes up in their inbox again and again, and most of the time they don't even get opened. So I would suggest you put something like story idea or even pitch, and then you just need to be really simple. So no clever words, no wordplay, really simple. So say, for example, this is a real example, a conversation that was going on in my Facebook group earlier. So you want to pitch a story about how you can improve your memory. So how you can improve your productivity by improving your memory. That's exactly what you need to say in your subject header. So, you know, 5 ways to boost your memory, or 5 ways to boost your productivity by improving your memory. That's a terrible title, actually. It's too long. But something like, you know, 5 ways to improve your memory in 10 minutes a day, something like that. That's a perfect subject header. The journalist would know exactly what you were getting at from that title. The kind of headline that somebody would put that would make a journalist overlook it would probably be something like, you know, be a master of your memory, or mastering the memory, something kind of vague, or I'm trying to think of a pun that you could use around memory, like memory makers or something like that. Means nothing to a busy journalist. So if your article is about, or your pitch is about, how to improve your memory, that's exactly what you need to say in your subject header, and also the first line of your pitch as well. So the third most common reason I see that people are getting ignored is that they simply haven't sent their idea to the right person. Now, this works on a number of levels. So quite simply, it can be, I always steer people clear of using generic email addresses. So if you were to ring up The Independent or ring up the New York Times and say, I've got a story idea, they probably would say to you, email it to features@New York Times or something like that. Now, that's probably a fob off. While there are some sections of newspapers and magazines where they do have a generic email address that they all check, and the Guardian's opinion section is one example of that, actually, a lot of them don't, or it might be sporadic. So you really do need to get the name of the person that can make a decision about whether to run your content. But this is again where research comes in. So I often get people who want to pitch to magazines, and they'll say, right, I just need to send it to the editor. Well, actually, the editor of a magazine probably is much more involved in the strategic direction of the magazine and is probably less involved with the day-to-day running. So if you've got a beauty story, you need to find the beauty editor. If you've got a feature, you need to find the features editor. If you've got an idea for, maybe you want somebody to review your book, you need to find the reviews editor. Now, this stuff requires a little bit of detective work, and it can seem like a bit of a pain. But what I always say to people is, would you rather spend an hour up front getting the right person, or would you rather waste hours of time sending out pitches and press releases and getting them consistently in front of the wrong person? So the fourth reason I think that people get ignored by journalists is because their timing is out. So I can give you quite a practical example here. So when I'm editing on the education section of The Guardian, although that section comes out on a Tuesday, so a lot of people would assume that all of that content is created the day before on a Monday because it's a daily newspaper. But again, using your common sense here, and a lot of this stuff is about common sense, is it really possible to commission and turn around 3 big 1,500 word pieces overnight on quite involved issues? Well, it is possible to do that working around the clock, but actually I think most publications would probably want a little bit longer to work on that. So actually the press day for the Tuesday section of The Guardian is actually Friday. So we go to press at the end of the day on Friday. So that means that when I'm editing on that section, I'd be looking for stories on the Tuesday or Wednesday. So often when I'm, because I generally just fill in for the editor there, she's often lined up most of the stories anyway, and she's lined them up weeks or months in advance, which is also worth thinking about. But if something comes in interesting on a Tuesday or Wednesday, then things can be moved around. But if somebody comes, as happens an awful lot, comes on a Friday with a really great story, it doesn't matter how great it is, finding a writer to put it together, giving them enough time to do all the interviews and arrange the photographs and stuff like that, it just isn't possible. So you may be getting ignored because you've sent quite a nice idea, but the timing's just wrong. And with monthly magazines, for example, they often work 3 to 6 months ahead. So you might send a really lovely Halloween idea right now, but actually it's too late. They're already working on spring next year. So all of these things that are worth bearing in mind. And the last one, and the most common one in terms of what you actually put in your pitch, because obviously the key thing is getting them to open your pitch in the first place or your press release, it's just taking far too long to get to the point. I see so many pitches from people where they spend 3 or 4 paragraphs outlining the background. It's almost like they treat it like an introduction to an article, and they try and set the scene and the context, and they tell you as a journalist things that you already know. So they say things like, as you may be aware, there has been a referendum in the UK as to whether we should stay in Europe. And like, you know, actually, I kind of know that sort of thing. I know this stuff already. So get straight to the point and say, would you be interested in an article on 5 ways to improve your memory? Or would you be interested in an article on why we shouldn't leave Europe or whatever it might be? Just get straight to the point. Often people are worried about not giving the background about themselves. You can do that later in your email. But the key thing is, journalists are not interested in you. They're not interested in your business. They're just interested in great content. So get the content across, and then you can put the stuff about you. So I hope you found that useful. That's obviously a few practical things that you can do if you're being ignored. But I think the key thing is, if you are being ignored, is just to go back and do an analysis really of what's going wrong. Because if you don't take that time just to take a step back and think, okay, well, why isn't this working? Then you're just wasting time sending out more and more ideas which are going to be ignored. So hope that was useful. I'd love to know how you get on putting that into practice. As ever, you can email me at janetmurray.co.uk, or you can tweet me at @Jan_Murray, or you can find me over at Instagram on JanMurrayUK. You've been listening to the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray. If you enjoyed the show, why not come over and join my Facebook group? It's simply the Soulful PR Facebook community, and I'd love to see you there.
You've just been listening to the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray. If you enjoyed the show, she'd really appreciate you leaving a review on iTunes. And don't forget to head over to www.janetmurray.co.uk for more free content that will help you get media coverage for your business.